I greet you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we encounter one of the scandalous biblical stories. And I want to begin and ask few young men who are here. I will not call them by name, but they are young men who are here. And I just want to ask them, they are young and single. And let me ask you something. If you were Joseph and your fiance comes to you and says she's pregnant, and you know that the baby isn't yours, what do you do? How do you react when you hear such news? But let me tell you something. This morning we want to first acknowledge that we are who we are because someone loved us. But when you hear this story, I think you begin to wonder, don't you? You wonder. There's a lot of things that are coming. And a lot of people quickly want to read about the message of the angel. Today, I want to focus on Joseph. And Matthew is writing specifically showing Joseph, and it's different when you read the same story in Luke. Luke focuses on Mary, and Matthew focuses on Joseph. And I decided also to focus on Joseph much more than to focus on the message of the angel, although I will touch a little bit about that. But now you wonder, and why do you wonder? Why God didn't choose an easier way to come to us? Why God surely decided to take this path to come through a very difficult situation like this, to choose a poor young lady in Bethlehem, a poor young lady and a poor young man? Why did Jesus took such a risk to entrust, to choose these two young people to come to the world and save the world? For not only God does risk the danger of the childbirth, why anything could go wrong, but God entrusts this child to a young woman and her fiancé, expecting that they would believe that the conception of this child was God's. And well, my brothers and sisters, this morning, let me highlight something. When you act with forgiveness and hope and trust, well, then the world changes. It is about the trust which we see in Joseph. But let's listen, let's begin to think about Joseph in this text. You are Joseph today, especially the young man here. You are Joseph today. And I want to believe this was what Joseph was thinking or talking in his mind, in his sleep, or even when he had this news that Mary is pregnant. I am Joseph. I'm trying to think, how would I react when I hear such news? And this is Joseph. I cannot believe she has done this to me. She is angry, right? And he has got the right to be angry. I can't believe. I just want to imagine my only fiancée during that time, and she's pregnant. I'll be angry. I'll be totally angry. Really, really angry. And this is Joseph. Why would she do this to me? I have been waiting for our wedding. Now she is pregnant. Why? How did that happen? And it would save your right to be a public shame. And why not? Nobody would blame me. But I would not be as vengeful. This is now another Joseph on the one side. But I don't want to be vengeful. I'm not a vengeful man. I'm not. I'm a man strong within myself, not concerned with others' opinion of me. I have nothing to gain by humiliating her. I believe I will divorce her quietly and save her from the public humiliation and shame. I'll just do that quietly. This is Joseph. But first, I want you to notice something. The turmoil in this holy family, the distress which is going through these two people. And sometimes Matthew is focusing on Joseph and say, this is what Joseph was going through. But I want you to imagine what also Mary was going through at the same time. She is silent in this text, but she was also going through a lot. There's a lot of distress in this family. You can imagine, yes, of course. Yes, God, the angel has said something, but still, you know, she's human. She's just a poor girl. She has to think all these things. How did this happen? What is the community going to say about me? These are all the things that are taking place. I want you to see the distress which is in this holy family, Joseph and Mary, upon learning that Mary was pregnant. He has received some disturbing news that left him wondering. The woman he so loved, so dearly, he loved this woman, but she is pregnant. She is pregnant. But this is one thing. The one who is impregnated, Mary, is not just another man in the community. It is the Holy Spirit. This is where it is very important. It's not an other ordinary young man in the community. Otherwise, if I was Joseph, if that man was known, he would grab him, right? Because he's angry. But Joseph knew something. It's not another ordinary young man in the community. It is the Holy Spirit. And I can imagine at this time of DNA, oh, Joseph and other young men will go and say, let's prove it. Who has done this? Who has done this? Joseph did not do that. But he is going through in his mind. But I mean, I want you to look at these four pictures. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent. I want you to look at these four pictures. And the third picture there, now the pregnancy is so open, you know. It's so open. You know, who has done this, you know? Who has done this to me? This is Joseph. Joseph is angry. There's a lot of distress. You can imagine what is happening through this holy family. But again, let's think of this time of the NBC 10 Boston. If they were the news, this was the news story, right? It's a newsworthy story. There is a little young lady who is pregnant. Her pregnancy is not known. But now I want you to tell you a story. I shared this story with Pastor Kathleen some few weeks ago. I want to get to this story. Unfortunately, my kids, my daughters, they are away. I wanted to tell, I told them yesterday that I'm going to preach about you girls, so you need to behave very well, but they are outside. So, you know, we are called the Moyo people. I just want to share this story so that you understand to bring in this call. We are called the Moyo people. And as you know, in some parts of Asia, Australia, and Africa, we use the totems. Like, you know, the totems of animals and so forth. We are the only clan which does not have a totem for an animal like like the lion or others, like I said. We are called the Moyo. Our totem is Moyo. I want you to tell you how we become the Moyo people. And the Moyo people is the largest clan in Zimbabwe, not only in Zimbabwe, but in East and Southern Africa. And how we become the Moyo people, this is the story I want to tell you. I shared this with Pastor Kathleen a few weeks ago. What happened is that a certain family, they had a daughter. And this daughter fell pregnant. And the community, again, as in the community of Joseph, the girl was asked, I mean, where did you get this? And she didn't know. She said, I don't know. I don't know at all. And she was supposed then to be killed, and also the family, the father and mother, to be expelled from the village forever. So to save from all this shame of the family, and they decided to ask the girl to leave the family, entirely, and move southwards. It was in the north, to move southwards. So that she can go, whatever she will happen, but the father didn't want her to be killed because she fell pregnant. Now the girl moved southwards and she bore a son. And this son, There was a time now he was supposed to be given a surname or a totem. So the son could not be given either lion or what, because then the girl decided to give the surname to say, like, gracious wepamoyo, means the heart, one who belongs to my heart. So the son was named wepamoyo, means someone who belongs to my heart. And she kept this girl, kept this boy for a long time. Now you will find our girls, you hear them called Fanareo or Komozo. We rarely call them by their names back home. Even now, sometimes when we are even at our house, we call Komozo Mamo, to say Mamoyo, to say Wepamoyo, one who belongs. So the girls in the Moyo clan are very powerful. When they say something, even the men, they will listen when the girls say something. Because the Moyo people came from a woman who gave birth to this young man who was not known his father. And of course, now people want to say there was some incest that took place within the family. That's people, it's not us. But we believe that the girl fell pregnant from God. This is what we believe. And the child was named Wepamoyo. And that's why we call these young girls Mamoyo. They are always called Mamoyo. Every lady in the family is very powerful and is called Mamoyo because of that. So our girls, they are called Mamoyo when we are home. But when you are here, we say Komozo and Fanareo for you to understand their names. So very important. I want you to understand why it happened in this family before this girl was expelled. And this is what is happening in this family. There is a serious distress that is taking place because of this pregnancy. But however, this is one thing important. Let's get to what is being said in this text. There is an issue of engagement. And again, the word engagement in this text is not a good word. Because in engagement, you can just decide to call off that engagement at any time. But this was a legal binding, a contract. So what that means is that when you would want to divorce, you have to go through a lot whole of series in order to do that. So this was not a simple situation that Joseph would wake up and say, okay, I'm done with you. I'm done, like what we can do with our present engagements. So this was a serious legal contract. It's just not a romantic declaration of intent. So we see, however, like I said, engagement is not. And other texts, if you read NRSV or King James, they give different terms on the issue of engagement. Some they will say you are engaged, espoused, betrothed, or pledged. But all of these words, they don't really give the true meaning, the true sense of this word. But I want to say they were legally married. So which means Joseph, by the law, he could have divorced her, or he could have allowed her to be stoned to death. This was legal in the law. Let me just highlight you what the law says in Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 21. Then they shall bring the young woman out to the entrance of your father's house. And then the men of your town shall stone her to death, because she committed a disgraceful act in Israel by prostituting herself in your father's house. So you shall purge the evil of your midst. So this is what the law says. So when you look at Joseph, legally, according to the law, he could have done that. But this is Joseph. He's saying, I cannot do that. Which means that when Joseph learns that Mary was pregnant, he can only conclude that she has been unfaithful to him. So likely the experiences of pain, anguish, and a sense of betrayal that any of us would have felt in such a devastating revelation. So there were two realities, like I said, of Mary's infidelity, if you'd want to call it. He would either publicly declare an injury, in which case then Mary would be stoned to death, or he would just divorce her quietly, as we see. But here's the thing. Most men would have allowed her to suffer the public disgrace she had apparently brought to herself. But Joseph was not compelled to do the macho thing. He set aside the wounded pride and offended values and planned to put a quiet end to the engagement. Now, here is something. We encounter here the people faced with the decision involving religious traditions, the law, and the community, or having to do with the marriage, family, and a decision to divorce. But God surprisingly enters the human life with a creative and a transformative power. Now, let's look into the dream. The dream calls Joseph to do something even more radical than the private dismissal of his pregnant fiance. He stepped above and beyond what anyone would have reasonably expected him to do. He is called to embrace a pregnancy as an act of Holy Spirit, which means, among other things, to follow God by not following the law. And this is very striking to me, and it is a very powerful statement of that, of what it means to follow the living God that is actively at work in the world. Look here, Joseph was unwilling to expose her to public disgrace and put her to shame. He didn't want to hate Mary. He didn't want to destroy her. He was not punitive. He was not vengeful. In his sleeping state, Joseph allowed God to speak the truth in the depths of his heart, to speak the truth and to speak an offer of a resolution to his dilemma that his human reason has failed to discern. My dear brothers and sisters, God works through real people with real challenges. He didn't choose a fairy tale princess to be a savior, but rather an unwed peasant girl. He didn't choose a political figure or a business figure, a business mogul, for this success story to name and care for Jesus, but rather a man with his own doubts and questions who wanted to do the right thing, but needed an angelic guidance to accomplish it. Let me put this way in another way. God comes through mixed ordinary people in order to save ordinary people. Mixed up people. And that God comes through a birth like all of the million people or millions of births in this world. And he promises freedom. Freedom from sin. Free from death. And a rebirth as the children of God. And we live here this morning with awareness that God's power is among us and ready to lead us in ways that we cannot imagine. But as I conclude, my brothers and sisters, Jesus came as one of us. Jesus was born like we are. He lived the way we live. He loved and suffered the way we do. And he died as the way we are going to die. And on the third day, God raised him from the dead, that we might no longer live in fear of death. All of us, what is happening in this country? I know I don't want to be political, but this week, this previous week in this country, it was a very difficult time. I sat on Wednesday throughout on the television listening to what is happening. And I want to believe this was one of the most difficult development in this country. Some are still wondering how things will look like. But this morning, I've got a message for you. I've got this message. God is with us. No matter what, he is with us. His name is Emmanuel. God with us. Or let me say this way. God really with us. That is God coming to be with us even when we are in despair. I know many of you, they are still pondering what is going to happen after this. Or some of you are going through many other challenges. You are wondering. But this morning, I've got a message for you. God is with us. This morning, right here, where you are seated, God is with us, not as we know we would be, or we are trying to be, or have promised to be, or will be someday, but He is with us right here, right now, today, in this moment. Perhaps that's the promise at the heart of this passage, that as God came before to be with us, He used us, He accepted us, and hallowed Joseph and Mary at the birth of Christ. So also God comes to us in Christ to be with us, to use us for good, accept us as we are, and to hallow us by God's own presence to us. Yes, God is really with us. Yes, God is with us this morning. Really and truly, He is with us. Yes, this is our Emmanuel. Come, let's pray together. Come again and always, through our words, our songs, our sermons. Today, my brothers and sisters, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate the presence of God through Christ Jesus, who is with us under any and all circumstances. Our Emmanuel is here, my brothers and sisters. He is real, and He is able to sustain us even in the darkest times of this country or even in our lives. Let us remember that the difficulties of our beginnings do not have to determine our destiny or what God can do through us. God used Mary. God used Joseph, a simple, peasant young man and a young woman. And God can use you. And God can use me. God can use all of us. God can use this church to be the beacon of this community. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.